Shabbat Shalom to everyone. This is Kahal Echad ben Mashiach, and today I believe is the what's today's date? Today is the 15th. According to the calendar, today, yes, it's the 16th. Today's the 16th, so praise the Lord. And it is the Lord Messiah is still in the sepulcher. And tomorrow, of course, very early in the morning, is the on Yom Rishon, the Messiah raises from the dead. Praise the Lord. We have interesting study today, so let's ask the Lord to bless this study. We'll pray and ask the Lord to bless this. Would you like to stand?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord, we could be here today on your Sabbath day. We thank and praise you, Lord and God, for dying on this tree. Lord and God, we praise you. We give you the glory today. Cover us in thy holy blood. Lord and God, we just thank you. We can gather together with people that are like-minded, people that desire truth, people that love your word. Lord, bless everything that's said today. Let it be from you, Lord and God. Show us if we're wrong on anything. Correct us. Lead us, guide us, and direct us. Be with us. We pray you'll send down a spirit of peace upon us, shalom. Send down power upon thy brothers and sisters around the world, people that are not with us. Increase our faith today, Lord and God. We pray, Lord and God, you'll plant our feet solidly in the solid rock, the Messiah. Bless everyone today. Lord and God, we give you the glory and the praise, Father, in the mighty name of your Messiah, Yeshua. Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I just wanted to reiterate this. One of the brothers in our congregation here, he had received an email from someone, I guess, and they went over this website, and it was all about this Protestant pastor, and of course he has Protestant pastor stuff, you know, and it's just like doing away with the feast of the Lord, doing away with the Sabbath, doing away with the unclean foods. You know, just quoting the New Testament and everything else is gone, and it's a grievous error if we keep the feast of the Jews and the feast of Moses. And he never says the feast of the Lord. But anyway, looking at this handout, you know, we'll examine this. And after they got this, one of the brother got this vicious attack from Satan of just the same thing. But the thing that's really odd, I got an email last night on the other side of the coin from a brother that the Jews in Judaism are uptight, that the Christian church is trying to keep a Passover because they think they're trying to steal the Jewish feast when the Bible never says it's the Jewish feast. I mean, there's so many things that people say that are just totally not accurate. So looking at this handout, if you click on the banner above, I put down Christian pastors are upset. Their people are keeping Jewish feasts and use only New Testament verses to define them. Jews in Judaism are upset that the Gentile churches are keeping Jewish feasts, taking over their traditions. I see Satan dividing again. That's what I see. I mean, I see this. I mean, I'm sure this was only like two different websites, and I'm sure it's happening all over the country. I listed 13 issues below. There are others. Let's examine some of these issues. So praise the Lord. If you have the banner, just click it, and we'll read these together. The first thing I want to bring up that I really want to emphasize when you're reading any kind of websites or anybody sends you anything, when they keep saying it's the Feast of the Jews, it's not the Feast of the Jews, okay? It's not the Sabbath of the Jews. There was no Jews when the Lord created the Sabbath. I mean, it was in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. There wasn't even a land of Israel. So it's a commandment of God, the Sabbath. We've heard other people try to tell everybody it's the Feast of Moses. It's not the Feast of Moses. So this is something that these are the kind of things you have to sort of plant in your mind. These are the feasts of the Lord. The next thing you need to concentrate on in these verses, you'll find out the word in Hebrew, it's Zicharon, which means very simply a memorial. This is a memorial, and we'll go into this more often, I mean a little bit later, but these feasts are something to be done in a memorial. It isn't something you do once and forget about it and you tuck it under the rug. So it's a memorial. And then you say to yourself, well, how long should you keep these feasts? Okay? So the question is, how long do you keep these feasts? And I kept finding in all the verses that I put down, it says, unto all generations. It's a chukat olam. And it's not only that, it's some of these are, the Passover is an ordinance, which is really important. Passover is an ordinance. So we have something that's, we find out it's something that's should be done forever. And it, we see it's an ordinance. And we also see it in some places, it says it's a statute forever throughout your generations. Chukat olam bechal moshev moshevtechem ledorotechem. So it's a statute that's supposed to be done throughout your generations in all your camps, in all your dwellings. So this is very important. Another thing to keep in mind, so we so far we have, it's the Feast of the Lord, it's a memorial. Some of them are memorials. They're to be done all generations. They're a statute. They're an ordinance. And then we see that this word chagag, chagag in Hebrew, is an interesting word because it's found in some of the Feasts of the Lord. The word chagag means basically something that moves in a circle. Like you, everyone's heard, I don't know if you heard of the word chag. Chag means feast. Chagag means not only feast, but it's something that happens in a circle. In other words, over and over and over, comes around every year. So these feasts are something that happens every year. And this is a very interesting word to look at. And I know some people, if you don't read the Hebrew, maybe, of course, you're not going to see chagag. And, of course, the Gentile pastors are just going to try to push it under the rug or say, it's done away or it's something, you know, whatever they're taught in a Christian church. Another thing I read on the handout, this man was trying to say, this Protestant minister was trying to say that, it says, okay, let's see, we got someone here that, would you please, it's cyclical, everyone please listen to the handout, it's very important. Another thing on the handout, this man was trying to say that Israel basically was forsaken and that the Gentile church is now the spiritual Israel, which is totally ridiculous. I mean, totally ridiculous. And to come from that perspective, of course, you're only going to read the New Testament. So if you read only the New Testament and you throw away everything in the Bible, yeah, you can make up any doctrine because the New Testament has nothing to base itself on because you just threw away the foundation. We're supposed to be built upon the foundation of the prophets. And if you throw away the prophets, there's no foundation. You can make up any doctrine. So I see in 1 Samuel 12:22, it says the Lord will not forsake his people, okay, for his great name's sake, because it had pleased the Lord to make you his people. And this is in a lot of places. I just put down a few verses, but it's very interesting. If you have your Bibles, like to read chapter 11 of Romans, and you'll see that God did not, yes, it's replacement theology. God did not get rid of his people. This is something very important. And for anyone who doesn't know this, you should read the chapter over and over of Romans chapter 11. Because this was brought up to Apostle Paul by the Romans. And Apostle Paul says very distinctly, he says, I say then, had God cast away his people? What's the answer? God forbid. Apostle Paul says, I'm an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Hi, how are you? Of the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin, God had not cast away his people, okay? So as soon as you see that in an email or on a website, I mean, know immediately the person is in a grievous error. God did not cast away his people, which he foreknew. And Apostle Paul says, what ye not what the scripture said of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. Now, a lot of people feel that way because sometimes there's only one person here and one over there and one on the other side of the country. But here's what God says. But what saith the answer of God unto him? God says, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men which have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. So even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And you might say to yourself, well, I only know Jews that reject the Messiah, and I only know Jews that, are, you know, just hate everything you're doing. Don't throw them away, because there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And you don't know who it is. It says right here, it says, and if by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Now, that might sound confusing to you. Basically, it's by faith. Okay? So, what then? It says, verse 7, if you have your Bibles, keep reading this. It says, Israel had not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election had obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So, you should always know that some were blinded, some were not blinded. Some see the Messiah, some don't see the Messiah. This is very important, because a lot of people think that the whole Israel was forsaken. It says right there, the remnant. You got to keep your eyes on the remnant. It says, according as it is written, God had given them, these are the ones that didn't see, God had given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And the reason why he did that isn't because he just said, I'm going to pick you and give you the eyes of slumber. I don't like you. I'm giving you the ears that can't hear. No. It's because these people's hearts were wicked. And when you're wicked, God answers you according to the way you are. And God chooses your little delusion. So it says, and David says the same thing in the book of Psalms. He says, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, and that they may not see and bow down their back alway. Now, just because David says this, that doesn't mean you throw away Israel. David's talking about the ones that reject. But there is a remnant. There are always Jews that follow the scriptures, always believe in the Messiah, always knew that he was coming, and then when he came, accepted him. And it says right here, Apostle Paul says, I say then, because of these few verses, it says, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the nations, unto the Gentiles, to provoke them to jealousy. Okay, Muslims in room, Christians are asking us about Islam. Okay, this is not, I'm going to put a red dot on everyone because we cannot have Muslims in the room. So everyone, please stay here. I'm going to have to do this just for the room's sake because for some reason, Muslims like to come in my room and disrupt everything. So I'd appreciate if everyone just sticks around and listens to this and then we'll continue on. And what I'll do is do this right now. Give me a moment, please. Okay. Let's see here. There you go. Praise the Lord. Just keep listening. And I'm doing this because these Muslims are going to keep trying to attack us. So praise the Lord. Anyway, I'm going to move on to the verses here. And we're in verse 12 of Romans chapter 11. It says, now, we're talking about the Jews. Some, through their fall, the gospel is brought now to the Gentiles to provoke them. So we're going to prove today that the Gentiles also keep the Sabbath. They also keep the Feast of the Lord. We're going to show that Judaism is a bunch of garbage and that it was made up by rabbis. And we're Jews in the Bible, not Jews in Judaism. Okay? And we don't follow Christians, that Protestants that throw away the Tanakh. It's almost like you have to sort of learn how to rightly divide this, because on one side of the fence, the Judaism is telling all the Gentiles they don't have to keep the Sabbath, you don't have to keep the feasts, these are Jewish feasts. That's nonsense. I'll show you in the scriptures. And then on the other side of the fence, you got the Christians saying, that's all done away. That was a shadow of things from the past, and it's all fulfilled, and we don't have to keep Jewish feasts. These are not Jewish feasts. These are the feasts of the Lord. It's the Moedei Yehovah. And we'll look at this in a moment. We're still in the book of Romans chapter 11. And verse 12 says, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, this is talking about the Jews. So we don't dismiss the Jews, okay? We don't throw away Israel. Israel is not forsaken. It says, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness, the Jews? Of course, these are God's chosen people. It says, for I speak to you Gentiles, and I'm speaking to the Gentiles, insomuch Apostle Paul says, I'm apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. It says, if by any means I might provoke to emulation them that are my flesh. Apostle Paul was a Jew, an Israelite, a Hebrew, and he wants to provoke some of his fellow countrymen to wake up and receive these things of God. So he says, he wants to provoke them to emulation, which are my flesh, that he might save some of them. Now, remember something. If the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, and the lump be also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if just, now wait, this is what the Gentile churches never see. If some of the branches be broken off, okay? It isn't like every Jew is just, apostate and never received the Messiah. That's not true. It says, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild, the Gentiles, if you're just a wild olive tree, and you're grafted in among them. See, this is another concept that nobody ever sees in the churches. The wild olive tree, the Gentiles, are supposed to be grafted in amongst the Jews that accept the Messiah and keep the word of God. It isn't like the Jews are supposed to go join a Christian church. See, they got everything all backwards. So the olive tree, you're supposed to be grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root. You're supposed to be partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Now, everyone should know, who's the root? Who said I'm the vine? Yeshua is the vine, and the rest of us are branches. So we're all being plugged into the Messiah, okay? So it's very simple. Everything is so backwards in the churches because the Protestant, their theology is, they try to create more and more Protestant theologies from that Gospels and letters, and they lost the foundation. Once you do that, we could make up any doctrine you feel like. You could say everything's thrown away and just say Jesus and he just loves you and do anything you want. But that's a bunch of nothing. That's what they do anyway. It says right here, but the Gentiles, they ought to remember this. Boast not against the branches. These are the natural branches. If thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Remember, Jesus is also a Jew, Yeshua, and he's from the tribe of Judah. So the Gentile churches shouldn't be so high-minded. It says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, wild olive tree, but fear. You know why? Because if God spared not the natural branches, the Jews that forsook him, remember, only some of them forsook him, not everybody. If he forsook them, take heed, lest he also spare thee. The wild olive tree. I mean, there's no respect of persons, and God is no respect of persons. Isn't that, I mean, everyone understands that, right? Let's see here. Verse 22 says, behold, therefore the goodness and severity of God. See, all the churches want to just talk about the goodness, but we want to talk about the goodness and the severity of God. Nobody likes the severity. On them which fell, the ones that reject the Messiah, yeah, they get severity. On thee, goodness, what? If thou continue in God's goodness. What happens if you don't continue in his goodness? Otherwise, you're cut off. Also, verse 23, and they also, the Jews also, if they abide still not in unbelief, the ones that didn't receive him, shall be grafted in. For God's able to graft them in again. If thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, right? If you're a wild olive tree and you got plugged in and you took root, how much more? Listen to that. How much more shall these natural branches, the Jews, be grafted into their own olive tree? Hang on a second. Somebody's trying to... Okay. So hold on a second. Hold on a second. Someone's posting something. Oh, no, they can't post something. Okay. So the question is right here. It says, Apostle Paul tries to make it a little simpler now. Even if you didn't understand all those words I just read to you, Apostle Paul breaks it down again. Apostle Paul always likes to say things two or three times. He says, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Don't be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. In other words, you'll make up some other stories. You'll make up some other things that are some heresies. And here it is again, that blindness in part, okay? Blindness in part has happened to Israel. So don't throw away Israel, okay? And don't think the Gentile church replaced Israel. Blindness in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles, the nations, become in. Now, we don't know what point we're at. We don't know when the fullness of the nations is going to come to a peak. It says, so all Israel shall be saved. And this is, when it says all Israel, I want everyone to understand this. It doesn't mean everybody in Israel. It means everybody that's called, everybody that's the remnant, everyone that has a heart towards God. Because some people are still not going to accept the Lord, no matter if you explained every verse 100 different ways. So then all Israel will be saved, all the Gentiles too that join the Israel of God. Once a Gentile joins the Israel of God, they're no longer a Gentile. They're no longer of the nations. You become a part of the Israel of God, and there's no difference. There's no difference between when you join the Israel of God, when you get plugged into the root, when you get plugged into the vine, you become one in Messiah. Praise the Lord. And that is exactly why I named the congregation this. We're supposed to be one in Messiah. Okay? In other words, no one's a second-class citizen. Everyone is on the same page. Everyone is equal. We're all in this together. We're all brothers and sisters.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So, let's see here. 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, that is written, they shall come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall take away ungodliness from Jacob, which is Israel. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now, I want everyone to remember this. The unsaved Jews and the anti-missionaries, it says, they're enemies for your sakes, okay? That's because they're so blind they can't see the scriptures. As concerning the gospel, right. They're blind concerning the gospel, and they're enemies for your sakes. This is very important, okay? But don't forget this, everyone. Do not forget this. As concerning the gospel, they're enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election. Don't forget about the election. Not all the Jews were blinded. Not all of them are forsaken. They're beloved for the Father's sakes.
Still the chosen people.
They're the chosen people. And I mean, they're beloved for the Father's sake. And these are the people that had the gifts and the calling of God. And the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Unto the Jews were given the law, the service of God, the service of the temple. They had the glory of God was over the tabernacle. God spoke to them. Never a people have ever heard the voice of God. I mean, that's a supernatural thing. So the gifts and calling of God to them are without repentance. For in time past, have not, it says, for ye, for the Gentiles in time past, have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. So it says, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Isn't that God unbelievable? That's so beautiful. You know what happened? God says there's none righteous, no, not one. God had concluded them all in unbelief, that he might, you know why? That he might have mercy upon all. God wants to have mercy upon everybody. And Apostle Paul says, oh, I feel it too. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I mean, whoever would have figured that? For who had known the mind of the Lord? Who had known the mind of the Lord? I don't. And it says, and who had been his counselor? Or who had first given to him? No one. And it shall be recompensed to him again. For of God, of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to read that chapter in case everyone thinks the Jews are finished. They are not. There is a remnant. Don't throw away Israel. The Gentile church did not take over Israel. And the truth of the matter is, when a Gentile joins the Israel of God, you're no longer of the nations. You're no longer a Gentile. That's what a Gentile means, of the nations. You now forsake the nations and you join the Israel of God. You become equivalent to the homeborn Israeli, okay? There's no difference. So This handout we see this man, this pastor, he has everything wrong. I mean, you know, he gives such a pleasant speech and a pleasant website, and he's got some of his other things that are, I looked at his website, some of the other things are okay, but most of the things he says on this handout was ridiculous. I mean, you know, because so far, I just want to recap this real quick. So far, we found out they're not the Feast of the Jews, they're not the Feast of Moses, they're the Feast of the Lord. So far, we found out that it's not something you do this once and forget about it and it's over. It's a memorial. And first of all, it's true all generations. And we found out it's not only that, God made it an ordinance and he made it a statute. And it's supposed to be in all, you're supposed to do it in every year, Hagag, because it comes around every year as a memorial, and it's supposed to be done in all your dwelling. Okay? And God didn't, we just learned that God did not forsake Israel. I know I'm speaking fast. No. I will slow down. Am I getting excited? So the question is, this Colossians chapter 2, all the Gentile churches, as far as I could see so far, have this so mixed up, and it's such a boring old issue. It gets me nauseous when I read it, when I hear them talk about it, because this one man was quoting, he says, check this out. He wrote in his handout, you look on the paper, it says, the feasts were a shadow of things to come. When he's quoting the verse that says, which are a shadow of things to come. So even though he's blinded to the are, which is future tense, and he's putting it in the were, which is past tense. Right. And it's like, well, wait a minute. He just quoted the verse on his website, but then he says the opposite. Right. And if you look at the book of Colossians, we see very simply that it says they are. And when Apostle Paul is quoting this, he's saying this is after the Messiah raises from the dead. He's talking to the Colossians. He's warning the Colossians, watch out. And, you know, it's such an old issue. It gets a little bit, after a while, you just get like, is anyone ever going to get it? Mm-hmm. And then, I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you, but it's a chapter to the Colossians that live in Colossae, which are by Asia Minor. The other thing, and then I'm not going to get into the issue, should the Gentiles keep the Sabbath? Of course they should keep the Sabbath, because you're not a Gentile no more. You joined the Israel of God. Mm-hmm. And then he gets into an issue about unclean foods. Should all of a sudden now you eat unclean foods? And of course not. They've never been considered food. They're not called, first of all, they're not called unclean food. Did you ever hear them called unclean food? No. It's not called food.
No, you're right.
I just want to put down these words that these ministers say. They put down unclean food. Well, I mean, it's not unclean. Yeah. It's not food, first of all. It's called unclean animals and unclean whatever. And, of course, then there was a question that's going around now on the Internet and around the country. Should the Gentiles keep the Passover? Well, I don't know. Let's check this out. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 48. It says, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and shall keep the Passover. Here's a stranger, a Gentile. This is Exodus 12, 48. When he keeps the Passover, let all the males be circumcised. So you have to be circumcised, okay? And then let him come near and keep it. Let the Gentile come near and keep it. And he shall, listen what it says. He shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. This is a scripture right out of the Bible. Exodus chapter 12, verse 48.
That's the Old Testament.
Okay? And the next verse says in 49, one law, one law. This is such an easy concept, but it seems hard to get into people's noggins. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourns among them, among you. I mean, it's simple to us now, but to the most of the world, they just say, oh, we're not going to do the Jewish stuff. They call it the Jewish stuff. It's not the Jewish stuff. It's the God stuff. Now, here's another verse right here. If you think you're not supposed to keep the Sabbath, in Isaiah chapter 56, it says, neither let the son of the stranger that had joined himself to the Lord. So once you're a Gentile of the nations and you join yourself to the Lord, you're no longer of the nations. Let the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every Gentile that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be acceptable upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. It's for all people. God is for everyone. So we just proved in the Bible that the Gentiles that joined the body of Messiah, you're no longer a Gentile, now you're part of the Israel of God, and you keep the Passover, and you keep the Sabbath, okay? That was the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah, okay? Now the question is, this is where another problem is. A lot of Messianic congregations do this, a lot of Jews in Judaism do this, and a lot of Christian churches do this. They separate the body. How many bodies of Messiah are there?
One.
And to prove that, you go to Leviticus chapter 19:34. The stranger that dwell with you shall be unto you as one that is born among you, and thou shalt love him. You're supposed to love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Praise the Lord. So there's no difference. This is so hard to get this through everybody. And there's the Hebrew. If you don't like the English, there it is in Hebrew. I'm sure the English is easier for you. And then the book of Ezekiel 47:22 says, "And it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it." Now, even the dividing of the land of Israel. Listen to this, everyone. This is Ezekiel 47:22. They're going to divide the land by lot for an inheritance among you. It says, "And to the strangers." Even the strangers. How about that? "That sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as one born in the country among the children of Israel. And they shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel." So here we have even the Gentiles are now in a tribe. Don't ask me which tribe, I don't know, but you will. I'm sure that will come to your understanding sooner or later. So we see now that the Gentiles and the Jews are all one in Messiah. And to prove that, we go to Corinthians again, Apostle Paul, chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "For we being many are one bread and one body, and we're all partakers of one bread." Okay? Romans 12:4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. People get mixed up sometimes. We're not talking about the members. There's many members in one body. Just like in your body, you have arms, eyes, head, ears, legs, toes, and a bunch of other stuff, right? But you're still one body. Same thing with the body of Messiah. There's many members in the body, and every member has a different function, right? Just like you. Your nose breathes, your ears hear, your eyes see, your heart beats, your feet walk, your hands do all kind of weird stuff. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. And we go back to 1 Corinthians 12:12. It says, "For as the body is one and had many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Messiah. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body, whether you be Jews or Gentiles." There it is, folks. 1 Corinthians 12:13. It says, "Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you're all baptized into one body, whether you be bond or free. And we all have been made to drink into one Spirit." Amen. Praise the Lord. "From now are they many members, but one body." Okay, the book of Ephesians 4:4 says, "There's one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling." And I should have put the rest of that down. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all and through all and in you all. Okay? So write down that next verse. That's Ephesians 4:4 and 4:5. I'll put that down on the handout later. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." What do you want to rule in your heart? The peace, the shalom of God. And today is the Sabbath. "To the which you are also called." Are you called in how many bodies? One body. And you're supposed to be thankful. Okay? And, I put some backup scriptures here that we could read later. But I want to take the red dots off and talk to everyone. You could read some of these verses that the Protestant churches threw away. These are the feasts of the Lord. You could look through these verses real quick, and you can just go scroll down so people could just see the feasts of the Lord. You could see that that there's things besides the Sabbaths. There's these other things. There's the burnt offerings, the meat offerings, the drink offerings, the all kinds of offerings. There's thank offerings. You could see that there's a memorial. And a memorial means, very simply, the memorial has two different kind of words. First, there's a noun. There's a noun that says something that is a monument or holiday intending to be celebrate or honor the memorial of a person or an event. It could be a written statement or a fact or a petition presented to a legislative body or an executive. Now, it could be also an adjective, serving as a remembrance of a person or an event, commemorative or relating to. So a memorial is something you just don't forget, right? It's something you remember every year, just like I'm sure people remember their birthdays every year, right? Do you remember your anniversaries every year? So why not remember the things of God? I mean, you know, why not? So we see that, and God only, in Exodus 3:15, God calls them my memorial. So some of these are his memorial. Just like he says, these are my feast. I don't know why these Protestant ministers want to throw everything away. I think they're actually pretty joyful. I mean, to have real feasts that if somebody says, what are you doing? You could actually go show them out of the Bible. I mean, if somebody asks you, where's the red guy with the red suit on and at the North Pole, you can't show them out of the Bible. There's no Easter bunnies in the Bible that have eggs. Bunnies don't have eggs. I mean, that's ridiculous. Egg hunts. I mean, I don't even know why there's an egg hunt. Maybe they should have a bunny hunt. Or, I don't know. Maybe they should hide all the Protestant pastors and hide them and try to find them. I don't know. I don't know. So.
Isn't it one of those that says 2,000 generations? Is it
1,000 generations?
What's that?
There's one of the feasts.
I'll find it.
One of the feasts, we could look that up later.
I can find it right now.
To 1,000 generations? Okay.
I'll find it real quick here.
Forever, is it enough? That one.
Forever, I mean forever, forever, forever.
You can't even get 1,000 generations.
It says right here, it says, this is an interesting verse Exodus 12.
Keep his commandments to 1,000 generations.
You keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. That means forever, basically.
And I mean, 2,000 generations, three of them.
It says right here, the Passover is an ordinance. I mean, the ordinance of the Passover in verse 43. I mean, that's an interesting verse right there. Why would you want to throw away an ordinance of God or a statute of God? I don't know. So we see the forever, forever, forever. It's a memorial of blowing the trumpets. Why don't you want to do the blowing of trumpets? I don't know. It says it's a memorial. Why wouldn't you want to? It says throughout all your dwellings, throughout your generations, a statue forever. I mean, God says it over and over and over. You can just scroll down. You can see it says over and over and over and over. So anyway, I'm going to open the room here, stop this handout. Does anybody have any questions? And this is how, if you copy this down, this website, you'll be able to answer these websites. And when the devil tries to come to you and say, maybe you should forget about this, it has no significance. And then you say to yourself, it's a memorial, it's an ordinance, it's a statute, it's the feast of the Lord. It's something that's supposed to be done every year. It's, you know, you got all these verses that, you know, and then that's the way you snuff out anybody that tries to come and take away the things of God.
That guy said if you keep it, you negate the Messiah.
Yeah. Some people think if you keep the feast of the Lord, you negate the Messiah. It's quite the contrary. You're actually doing what he says.
I think we remembered him quite a bit the last few days.
Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord, everyone.
Okay.
I hope everyone got something out of this. I take the red dot off. Anybody have any questions? We're going to open the room for anybody. I hope you got something out of this. And then we're going to take a few minute break. I need a drink of water. Does anyone have anything to say? Just come to the mic. Or anybody in here have any questions? It's pretty clear, right? Anybody have any questions? I mean, you know, I don't know what else to say. That man's explanation on those things where he uses the scriptures to... It's just the same old Protestant thing. I don't know. So nobody has any questions, huh? Everybody got it? Well, praise
nobody
the Lord.
Online has one either?
Nobody online here has got a question? Everyone online, are you still awake? Praise the Lord. Anyway, the room is open. God bless you, and hope everyone has a peaceful Sabbath. We're going to come back a little bit later and maybe read something else. Gallant Singer, you don't have nothing to say? I can't believe it. Gallant Singer, come to the mic. You must have something to say. Who's teaching? My name is Angelo Malachi, and we're a congregation called Kahal Echad BeMashiach. We're called One of Messiah. And everyone who joins the people of God, anyone who joins the people of God, they're supposed to do all the feasts of the Lord. So don't let anyone tell you to not to keep the feasts of the Lord.
Wayne's on there too. Everybody's on there.
Now, Wayne or anybody want to come to the
Trula.
You guys are too quiet. Gowan's singing, you have nothing to say? That's hard to believe. Oh, here she comes. How's that for coaching them up?
No, I have nothing to say. I understood everything perfectly, as a matter of fact. Thank you very much. Interesting study. And at this point, I relinquish the mic.
Okay, praise the Lord. You know, I realize this study is easy to people that have ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to receive. The ones that don't, I noticed a couple of anti-missionaries came in the room, a couple of Arabs. They get upset and they leave and they get furious. But I just praise the Lord that, you know, the Lord says, blessed are your eyes that do see and your ears that do hear. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Okay, following the Nazarene, how are you? I like that name, Following the Nazarene.
I'm doing exceptionally well, thank you, and I pray you are as well. I'm just responding quickly to a question that was posted earlier about what are the feasts and festivals, and I happen to have a list which includes Hanukkah, and I'm going to put it up there just because I've already typed it, and also the Feast of Trees. I don't know if I typed that in or not, but you can correct it and explain it to them or to anyone.
I don't even see it.
Here's the list in case anyone wants to, just wants a list, I guess. Okay, thanks.
Okay, praise the Lord. You know, if any in the room don't know what we're talking about, does anybody in the room maybe there's some people in the room that, does anybody in the room not know what we are talking about? If you don't know what we're talking about, please come to the mic, ask a question. You know, we don't take it as hostility. If you don't understand what we're saying, please, you know, ask a question. We don't do Hanukkah ourselves because Hanukkah means dedication in Hebrew. And as far as we know, Hanukkah is associated with the temple. And as far as I can see, the two Hanukkahs, the two temples are destroyed. So now you're the temple of the living God. Unless you want a Hanukkah yourself, dedicate your temple to God. But praise the Lord. Anybody? But the Feast of the Lord. Do we have any questions here? You want to read his question? Go right ahead.
Wayne just said if Jewish people are complaining about us keeping Passover, does that mean we're provoking them to jealousy?
Yes.
Yes.
We are the Gentile people that are keeping the Passover and doing some type of Passover Seder. You're provoking the Jews to jealousy. Yes. There are some, and I can give you guys the website to show you what I was talking about. Praise the Lord.
Finally.
Finally, provoking the Jews to jealousy. God bless everyone. God bless you.